Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Janelda, for leading us again this morning. We deeply appreciate that. And again, I think we should give thanks to the decorating committee for the great job that they've done making our sanctuary and our foyer and the whole church appropriate for this season. They've worked hard at it. I think we should say thanks. I'm going to be referring to scriptures in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 this morning, if you want to go back there. For those of you who are guests with us this morning, during these messages coming up to today, we've been talking about Christmas in a broken world, and we've been talking about the fact that Christmas to the Christ follower is firmly rooted in our history. And even a casual reading of all the passages regarding Christmas would bring us to some conclusions. And they would be something like this, that spiritual people live in a broken world. And during our Advent lunches, we talked about the fact that we are in a troubled world. And the Christmas characters walk through that world even as they were anticipating the birth of the Lord Jesus. So this is reality. We also talked about the fact that the follower of God can be in the center of God's perfect will and can, and most likely, some of the brokenness of our world will be intensified even as we walk with God. How do we know that? Well, if you were a nice little Sunday school girl like Mary, a virgin, and you grew up in this fine little church, and all of a sudden it was found out that you were pregnant, and you knew that that was of God, but you couldn't convince anybody else it was of God, including your fiancé, Joseph, do you think that that might cause a problem? So being in the center of God's perfect will sometimes intensifies the brokenness around us because the values clash and so on. Those who honored God in the Christmas story did what we call a walkthrough. They needed to walk through the realities that brought them to the day when Jesus was born. And that was just the beginning. Because as Jesus grew, and particularly in the last 3 years of his life, things got more intense, as we know. And they had to walk through that. And we've often commented from Psalm 23, when it says, yea, though I walk through the valley, that life in its realities, yes, God is good all the time, but life does involve valleys. And the valleys often are not avoided or denied. We do the walk through. And that's exactly what these Christmas characters did in facing the challenges before them. So the point would be this so far, that the presence of hope, this confident trust in what God has said, determines the quality of our lives today as we do the walkthrough too. Hope is directly related to a secure future. And if we claim to be a Christ follower, from Philippians we understand our citizenship is in heaven. And in the King James that Ethel read from today, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, it used to use the term sojourners, and it's like strangers. And for those of us who have our citizenship in heaven, we're just here for a time. We're like strangers to this world walking through because we have a relationship with God. But in this walkthrough, the challenges are there, but the hope is alive within our hearts. So we've been talking about hope in a broken world. And we've talked about the Christmas characters, how they waited in hope. And if you knew the Jewish mindset, and we see the mindset come out in the passages where Mary had her song and Zechariah had his song, they were all anticipating this tremendous Messiah. That hope was a part of that, was waiting for his coming. And as we affirmed, they knew that God would be faithful. And then last week, we did talk about the walk. Because we continue to walk triumphantly, alive on the inside. Jesus the Messiah has come in his birth. And now we live in hope. We walk in hope because we know that he is alive. So today, We want to get to the point where Jesus was actually born in our story. And so we're going to talk about worship. Because this cannot be denied from any part of the Christmas celebrations in history when it originally took place. Worship in the hope was throughout the documents of history concerning the Messiah. So one of the things I noted was there was joyful anticipation all along the way. Joy didn't just snap on when Jesus was born. And in reality, we just don't snap into an attitude of joy because we're going to celebrate Christmas in 2 days. To those who are God followers, Christ followers, joy is a part of our daily walk. And certainly in the Christmas story, even though they didn't know every detail along the way, and some things were so uncertain and so inconvenient, like, why do we have to go for the census when I'm 9 months pregnant and this is a long journey? You know, things just got very inconvenient along the way. But the reality was that even from the beginning, these people were in the center of God's will. They were living for Him. And what I observe all through the Christmas story, there was a tremendous joy. Chapter 1 and verse 38, that joy was due to the fact that they had a conviction that indeed God was in this. God's plan was being fulfilled. Also, there was the joy of the affirmation when John leaped in Elizabeth's womb at the greeting of Mary. Joy came forth. The joy in Mary and in Zechariah and in all the Christmas characters regarding the promises and the privilege of the Jewish people. Think about the anticipation. And now it seems like the timeline is being sped up and it's here. And their hearts, just like our hearts anticipate Christmas, their hearts begin to pump. Okay, we're here right now. We're here for such a time as this. And joy was a part of their lives. Think of Mary's joy that a child was in her womb and growing, even as the angel said. And think of the joy because the child who was in her womb indeed was the Messiah. God was faithful. And you should read through the song here that she had in chapter 1, beginning in about verse 46 and through. She highlights God's faithfulness to her, her knowledge of God, His power and His sovereignty, His favor for Israel and for Abraham. Both Mary and Zechariah speak of salvation and deliverance and redemption, and God is come to deliver His people. And Mary herself had a tremendous sense of the fact that she was a servant of the Most High God. If you look in verse 32, she speaks about giving herself to God and being used by Him. And indeed, this was something that was alive. She was blessed and God was honoring her. So the point was this, that in the mindset, in the mind, okay, we can't bypass the mind. Truth came to their mind. It now flowed down to their heart or to their emotions. And what we see is their overflow in joy and worship. And that joy continued even as they waited for Jesus to come another 9 months, as they walked the road and even going to Bethlehem, as hard as it was, all to the point of coming to His birth. Joy and anticipation, and God said, and God is faithful, and we're here, and isn't it? There was this attitude that carried them along, even through some of the most difficult challenges. So this is the way it was. Philippians 4:4 tells us, in spite of living in a broken world, to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And so it's that same focus, that intentionality, the sense that God said that brings about the overflow of joy in our daily lives, even as they did the walkthrough and in their daily experience. What they were focused on and rejoicing is that God was bringing about his will for them. So joy was a part of this whole scene that can't be missed. I would also go on to say that when Jesus was born, there was particular praise. And as Ethel read the Christmas story this morning, indeed, a son is born, and we would say, Mary would say, even as God said to me. And so praise was coming forth as that day approached. But think even beyond that, the praise of the angels, and it was unmistakable as they delivered the message to the shepherds. And then it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men upon his favor rest. The angels in heaven lit up the heavens and praised God for what was going on here. Also, when the shepherds went and discovered exactly as they had been told, they returned, it says in verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard. I was listening to Christian radio the other day when I was driving the truck, and one of the things that came up was the importance of that sign. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in strips of cloth or in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so the shepherds, who didn't know Mary and Joseph from anybody else, at least believed the angel, and they took off. And this sign was to affirm that this person born was indeed Christ the Lord. But think of another side. Here's Mary and Joseph sitting in that back stable, and a bunch of shepherds show up out of nowhere. They didn't know them from the man in the moon either. But think of the sign that this would have been, just another confirming sign, because the angel had already spoken to Mary before conception, and John leaped in the womb. And here they ended up now in Bethlehem, and these shepherds show up. And so a sign to Mary and Joseph would be the fact that this little one born was indeed Christ the Lord, just as the angel said in chapter 1, this one born of you, Mary, will be the Son of the Most High, because he will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so Mary and Joseph, again, had another sign that this is a very significant occasion. And then later, when they went to the temple for his dedication, this guy named Simeon comes up, and he again affirms the importance of this child. And then Anna comes along. And God is so faithful to repeatedly just affirm to their hearts, indeed, unto you has been born a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And because of it, not only did the shepherds rejoice and the angels praise God, but Mary began to treasure these things up, and Joseph within their hearts, and they were beginning to piece together, what is God doing here? And this joy was prevalent in their lives. So the point would be that the whole Christmas story, apart from having worship, particularly heightened a continual spirit of praise upon the arrival of the promised one. And I was thinking of this. And there would be a 33-year journey with all its signs and with all the things that were going on in a broken world where Jesus lived. And it would bring Christ's followers to praise even as he went and lived out his calling as a Savior to a broken world. But now that brings me right up to today, because we know that this is historically documented evidence in this book. This is given as a record so that we were able to reflect and see that, yes, this is so. This is not a fairy tale. This is documented evidence. And so here we are. These people had joy and worshiped the Lord. So I would say that worship continues to be in the hope that we have in God today because of the things that God has promised to us. Those who are Christ's followers have put their hope, their faith in the living God. And our minds and our hearts today affirm the reality of that hope that comes through Christ, even as we do the walk through in a broken community and world around us. And we mentioned a couple of weeks ago how that you just turn on the news and they're sort of trying to figure out how can we get this under control. And you read between the lines that this is just going haywire here, and there's a lot of brokenness and there's a lot of wonder of what are we going to do. And we live in this same world. But as those who are Christ followers, there is a confident assurance and a hope set before us. And to sum it up, it sort of goes like this. There is hope fulfilled at Jesus' birth. And so today we stand here and we plant our feet and we rejoice indeed in the fact with the believing Jews. And we enter into that sense of the songs of Mary and Zechariah and into the praise of the angels, because to us today we believe that unto us has been born a Savior. But we also, in hindsight, know the rest of the story. Because over 33 years, particularly as Jesus came to his last 3 years, his followers felt the impact of his suffering and his death and then also his resurrection. And we've been talking about having hope, and the Jewish mind was certainly alive. But when you come to Luke chapter 24, Jesus is walking after his resurrection with two strangers. And there they said, you know, we had hoped that this Jesus of Nazareth would have been our Messiah. And Jesus had to turn and even there on the road rebuke them because they were slow of heart to believe the scriptures and the prophets and all that was done. And later on, they came to full belief that indeed he is the hope. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is a great text regarding the fullness of the hope that we as Christ followers focus on and find our joy. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we have hope because Jesus was born. It was fulfilled in his resurrection. And Peter just picks up on this and he says, praise be to the God and Father in verse 3. Excuse me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so now we see that God is not just interested in fulfilling the hope in a broken world by the cradle, but now after 33 years, he's brought us to a cross. And after that, the burial and the resurrection, and that very resurrection causes those two guys on the road to Emmaus to see, oh, we had hoped, but now our hope is affirmed. Jesus is alive, as they would come to fully believe in just a few days. And we affirm today that the Savior has been born, but we affirm that we have hope because this Savior is risen from the dead. And he has overcome our greatest enemy. You should almost have it memorized by now because I say it often enough. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. He became human like us so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those of us who all of our lives have been held in slavery by the fear of death. And so Jesus came, and by his death on the cross, affirmed that hope is alive, not just because he was born, but now he is risen from the dead. And this hope that is alive within every believer sets us free from not only Satan's tyranny and his hold on our minds and our hearts and our bodies, but it sets us free from fear of death through faith in Jesus and in his death, burial, and resurrection. So we can go a lot farther here now, and it just isn't the hope that the Messiah will come. It's the hope that he has arrived and that His purpose was fulfilled in providing for us salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. But let us just conclude by saying this, that this hope is affirmed to us as being applied to our full salvation. It isn't just the historical birth and the historical resurrection, but it will be in history in the making, when we go to be with Jesus because we have faith in Jesus. And look at what he says here in verse 4 down through in 1 Peter. We have this living hope, and we have been introduced into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you what? You greatly rejoice, though now for a while in a broken world you may have had to suffer all kinds of grief and all kinds of trials. And these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold that perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, and we have not, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, and we do not, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of faith, of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. And so we affirm, indeed, it is good news. Unto us has been born a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And we are also given to understand that there is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so today, I stand and I say, my hope is alive. It is alive with Mary and Zechariah and the Jewish people who believed and anticipated his birth. But it is also alive with believers 33 years later who saw that he just wasn't born. He actually rose from the dead. And because those two historical things have happened and they're verified in documents of evidence, proof, it is also stirring within my heart the faith that God, who fulfilled his plan to that point, will fulfill it to the day when he comes to take me to be with him. And that full salvation that I was promised will be mine, and I will live with the Lord. And this is a source, as Peter says here, of great and glorious joy. So my question today is, are you with me? Are you with me? I hope so. Because God wants us to have this relationship and to live filled with the hope that comes through Jesus. It is a blessed assurance. It's a confident anticipation, because God has promised, and he's kept his word so far, he indeed will bring full salvation. Are you with me in this? Because God really wants us to know him. And if today you don't have that security, it is important for you to respond to God by saying, I want Jesus to be my personal Savior, and I turn from my brokenness and my sin, and I receive Jesus as my Savior. And to those of us who have done that, we just continue building into our lives the sense of joy that God gives us, because there has been a hope that is set before us. May God help us as we are those people who enjoy a rejoicing spirit, and we're alive on the inside. Our last carol this morning, we need to sing this, because it means that as we finish this chorus, I'm going to choke all the way through it. But the rest of you, you can put it way up there, and I know you delight to do so. So let's stand together as we sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Very good. Well, we've been glad to have you with us in our fellowship this morning. We hope that you'll continue with us out in the foyer. And to our church family, be sure to check your mailboxes there and everything. And you wouldn't want to, if someone put a Tim card or something in for you, you wouldn't want to miss it over the Christmas season. That's what we're getting at. Good. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, one of the greatest dangers that can happen in a Christian church is that if we're not careful, we can be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And so the joy that we've spoken of today, that sense of rejoicing, it is firmly rooted in your promise and your word. And we have every reason to believe, and we have reason to rejoice. But help us to live this joy in such a way that perhaps even that quiet affirmation, that encouraging word, that positive spirit, that hope in God may cause that others would consider that Jesus is worth following, he's worth knowing. Help us to indeed represent you well during these days. In Jesus' name, amen.